while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Good morning, church. Our main Bible verse for today is Psalms 91, verses 1 to 2. And as it was read by Raisa, it reads, "Whoever dwells in the shadow of the Almighty shall find rest. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." Now, Psalms 91 is a very popular psalm. And the thing about these popular psalms is that we often approach them with a nonchalant attitude. We think, oh, I know this, and we often take them at face value. I remember I must have brought up Psalms 91 to my dad, and I said, oh, you know Psalms 91. And immediately he nodded in recognition at the mere name of the psalm. Now, there are lots of examples of this, so we're going to test your scripture knowledge just a little bit. So I'm going to say the first few words of a seemingly popular psalm, and then you guys will finish it. So, "For God so loved the world, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Okay, almost. Now, you guys should know this because this is our motto verse. So, be joyful in hope. Yeah, okay. So, as I said, we often approach well-known scriptures with a nonchalant attitude, Psalms 91 included. And whether we intend to or not, it's often regarded as merely a series of God's promises, prayers of protection. And while it is, I think it's very important to actually take a minute to look at the verses and look at each word and see what it's actually telling us. So it says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High." But what does it actually mean to dwell? And what is the shelter of the Most High? So to dwell is to be fully present in a place or with a person, to settle in or engage with. If you dwell on something, often you speak about it or think about it for a very long time. There are lots of examples of biblical dwelling. For example, in Exodus 29, we see God dwelling among the Israelites through the tabernacle, which was a tent of meeting. It says, "I will dwell among the people of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God." So God effectively dwelled with the Israelites. He did not just pop in from time to time to say hi and then leave, but he was immersed in their presence. He was there and could be felt. Now, the wording of the verse is very particular. It does not just say that whoever visits the shelter of the Most High or whoever comes to the shelter of the Most High, but it says whoever dwells. So whoever fully immerses themselves in God's presence. Shelter. It's often called as a secret place of God in another version. Not literally a closet where you hide and you go say hi to God, but it's more of a metaphor of a place where you and God can just be you and God. It's a place of comfort, safety, a place of peace, of complete security, not because of our own righteousness, but because of God's own power and love. Now, there is one secret to actually reaching the reaching the secret place, and it is to seek. There is no qualification. You don't need to reach a certain level of perfection to be sinless to reach the secret place with God. You just need to seek him. Matthew says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Knock and the door will be opened. And most noticeably, seek and you will find. Everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened." Now, we will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And that's so comforting that almost our pains will be alleviated when we dwell in God's presence. It says, "I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." This is almost a declaration from Moses, who was the psalmist, affirming God's character as a trustworthy God, someone who will do exactly what he says and will not lie. Now, I know our main verses are verses 1 to 2, but this idea is further expanded in verse 3, as it reads, "Surely he will save you from the foulest snare and the deadly pestilence." Now, I don't know how many of you have actually seen a foulest snare or deadly pestilence, but let's put this in our own context. So what does this mean to me? What do I need saving from? And what do you need saving from? What is actually pulling you away from the life that God has called you to live? In fact, what is stressing you? What is distracting you from actually being able to fully submerge yourself in God's presence? Now, this might be fear, This might be guilt. This might be anxiety. So if we place this into the verse, as it says, he will save you from the foulest snare, surely he will save you from your anxiety, from your fear, from your stress, from your busyness, from your financial problems, from your marital or relationship problems, from conflict and for danger. We need to remember why we call God our refuge and our fortress, our God in whom we can trust. That's because we can trust him. He says it and he does not lie. Now, not only is Psalms 91 a reassurance of protection for those who love and put their faith in God, but it's also a call to prayer. It's a call to actually find the secret place, to immerse ourselves in it. Now, we can't just have one foot out and one foot in, but we need to fully be with God in the secret place. God is calling us and inviting us, and all we need to do to access it is to seek him. So overall, Psalms 91 reminds us of the security and the peace we find when we dwell in God's presence. It's calling us into a relationship with him, not one in which we dedicate half our time with one foot out and one foot in, but one in which we can fully dwell with him, one in which we can fully experience his presence wholly. So it's my prayer that as you go along with your week, that you remember Psalms 91, not just as a prayer for protection, but also as a call to prayer. Thank you.
That was a wonderful sermon from our sister Lisa, which reminds us that God is someone that we can dwell with. Now we have another amazing sermonette. Our sister Emma, please join us.
Good morning, church. So first of all, I want to start off with a more holistic approach to this sermon. You know, I want to look at things from a whole perspective, from a wider perspective, just before I delve a bit deeper into some more minuscule details. So, like Eliza was saying, Psalms chapter 91 is an amazing chapter, right? It's a great chapter. It's written by Moses. And it's a chapter that focuses on reassurance. It reminds you of what your God is capable of and what you're capable of with God. You know, it's this chapter of reassurance that reminds you to acknowledge God and to let him into your situation. So, our main synopsis, right, is a call to prayer. And prayer consists of many different things, right? And one thing about prayer is that it's kind of like a cycle. You know, prayer is something that can cause a bunch of chain reactions for certain things, right? So I firstly want to start off, if you just put like the arrows on the screen, all four arrows, please, that would be great, just to show how it's a cycle. It's okay, there'll be arrows in between, pointing between each one. But we're going to start off with a call to prayer, right? So when you are called to something, it is either a compelling feeling or desire to do something, or someone is literally crying out to you in order to summon you or attract your attention, right? So for example, you could have a calling to be a singer or a manager, or you could be called by your mom in the other room just to log into some streaming devices, okay? There's two different types of callings. So, but I stated these two specific types of callings because this is practically how God calls us. God calls us to pick up our cross and die to ourselves daily, to reflect Jesus, to walk on the path that he is leading us on, to intercede for others. But besides that, he also calls us into partnership, into relationship, communication, intimacy, new beginnings and endings. God calling us is not just a one-way system, you know. We can also call upon him. And this can be seen in Psalms 91, verses 15. And it says, he will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. It's not saying, you know, if you call on me, I'll ignore you, I'll block you, I will answer maybe when I feel like it sometimes. It's not saying that. It is saying that God will answer you and he will be with you. Sometimes, even if it feels like he's not answering, sometimes that can be an answer within itself. God never withholds an answer from you. So, start to spend more time with Jesus in prayer. Begin to grow his fruits and develop a heart like his. Become his best friend. So, everyone here has a best friend, right? Yeah, everyone here has a best friend. Well, I would hope that you have a best friend at least. If not, Jesus. Jesus should be your best friend, right? Okay, we're solid, okay. So, you notice how the more time you spend with your best friend, you start to act like them a bit. You know, you're now developing equally as bad humor. You know, your thought processes become aligned. You start to say things simultaneously, you know? So, a question, this is what happens when we draw closer with God, when we become best friends with God. But a question I want to propose to you, just to think on right now, is what is God calling you more into prayer for? Is he calling you to intercede more? Is he calling you to just talk to him and spend time with him outside of work, outside of school, outside of church, to bring that particular situation to him? Actually say how you're feeling without a mask on. What is it that God wants to speak to you about? Now, as we begin to increase our prayer life, we begin to take hold of God's love. And the question is, what can this look like? You know, it can look like reciprocating it, accepting it, trust, and putting faith in him. So a psalm for this is Psalm chapter 91, verses 14. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. Simply because you love him, he will respond to you. And not just respond to you, but he'll be efficient in it. He will protect you and save you from whatever that thing may be. Okay, so God's love is unconditional. You know, it's a love without boundaries, without measures, regardless of how long you have decided to block or air God, you know, due to a situation, maybe some life situations, or even doubt. His love is ready to embrace you. His love is there, still protecting you, even when you're not walking with God. His love is so strong that he is continuously, always watching over you. His love is above and beyond human love. His love is this unknown, unreplicable caliber. It's got its own type of section, okay? It cannot be replicated by any of us. We are all incapable of doing that. Now, when we take hold of God's love, essentially what we're doing is we're holding his hand and accepting his love in its incomprehensible format. We are allowing ourselves to feel it and to experience it. When you take a hold of something, right, you grab it, you hold it firmly in your hand and you don't let go because you don't want to drop it, right? So take hold of God's hand, cherish his love, walk with him, but also walk in his love, dwell in his love, trust in his love, and grab onto his love and don't let go. So in doing so, as you start to grab hold of God's love more through your prayer time with him, you are able to do more things. And one of these things that you're able to do is overcome fear. Because we reassure ourselves that God's love is real. He is trustworthy and he is a God of his word. In Psalms 91, chapter 5-6, it says, "You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you." You need not to fear because God will make a way. He always makes a way, right? Even when we can't see the way, he always makes a way. He will protect you because he's always watching over you, regardless of what's going around you. And when you are in God's parameters and his little bubble, he is able to do this. Now, what is fear? The definition of fear, right, is an unpleasant emotion caused by the threat of danger, pain, or harm. Now, fears are actually maintained via negative reinforcement. And this is where we are constantly avoiding this phobia. And due to this absence of the phobia, it makes us feel at ease. It reduces anxiety. And suddenly, it becomes our comfort zone. Now, this nice feeling of this absence of this phobia allows us to stay fixed and stagnant. So, me, for example, right? I don't like spiders. Okay, those who know me, I don't like spiders. Who here likes spiders? Not many hands. Okay, cool. So I used to be like really, really scared of them. I mean, I still kind of am, but I have traumatic stories to back them up, okay? I have traumatic stories. So spiders, to me, they're unpredictable and they're creepy. Sometimes you'll see them, right? And they just freeze because they stare you down and they hope, or sometimes, you know, sometimes they hope that you don't like look at them, that you forget them. You know, sometimes, I don't know if you guys used to do this when you were younger, but you know when you're with your family and you're staying up late past your bedtime and you're watching something, so you sit like really, really still, so you hope that they forget about you so you can stay up longer. That's what I feel like they do, you know? Yeah. But sometimes the spider may run away. Sometimes it may charge at you. Sometimes it may, if you try to pick it up, it'll remain peacefully on the tissue. Sometimes it will try to crawl up your arm, okay? I'm not trying to take those chances. But earlier this year, I must have gone on a psychology trip to London Zoo. And just to focus specifically on this one part of the trip, me and my friends was perusing the zoo, and there was this spider walkthrough, right? The spider, as you can see, there's literally spiders up. They're literally out, right? And I must have walked in, hoodie up, my actual like hoodie and my coat hoodie was up, and my hands were in my pocket. I made sure there was no way for spiders to get onto me, okay? I walked in like this. I was like ducking and weaving these spiders, and then I realized they're not actually moving. So then we got to around like this little corner part, and I realized it's not that bad. My hoodie came off, my coat even got undone because it was actually very hot in there. Yeah, I got a bit comfortable. But as a result, I'm still scared of spiders. I mean, I can tolerate them better now. We more have a mutual understanding, you know, that when they're in the corner of the room, they're not trying to watch my schedule to understand where to strike. You know, we have more of a mutual understanding. I leave you alone, you leave me alone, right? I'm getting there, guys. I'm getting there. I'm trying, okay? But I'm saying this because we need to start challenging our fears, but challenge our fears with God, you know? And I understand it can be uncomfortable, but we have to find comfort in the uncomfortable, right? Now, when you start facing your fears, you won't suddenly become immune like me. I didn't become immune, okay? You may still have some fears and doubts, but you have to trust that God is holding your hand to get you through it and to overcome it. Remember, he's always there to talk to you, right? So, another question, okay? I must ask, what is God trying to help you overcome? What is this one thing that you are negatively reinforcing? What are you not trusting God with? An example of this may be letting God use you and strengthen to develop your spiritual gifts. And I understand that it can be scary because you don't know what measures he's going to take it to. It may be something new, and you may not even feel ready or let alone worthy. But I'm here to tell you that God has purposefully given each one of us a gift, or even gifts, plural, right? And he has ordained it specifically for you. Now, as you walk on this path with God, these gifts can help us, can help to encourage others to draw closer to God. It can help draw us closer to God. It strengthens our own spiritual life. Now, this verse isn't specifically from Psalms 91, but I just thought it fit perfectly, so I had to add it. It's James chapter 1, verses 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. When you receive a good gift from someone, right, do you not cherish it? It is valuable to you. You put it to use. God's gifts to us are without faulty intention or creation. The gift he has given you was done on purpose. He has a plan for you with that gift, and that gift is 100% for you. So embrace it. And even if you may not know what your gifts are, you can go and talk to God, and you know, he can reveal it. He can help you understand what it is. So, what is prohibiting you from strengthening it? What is prohibiting you from walking with it? What has caused you to perhaps even isolate your gift? Who better to ask these questions than to God himself? So, draw closer to God. Let him teach you how to use these gifts. Let him keep you humble within these processes. Let him guide you and help you to grow within these gifts, right? So, As you notice, you know, this is all to do with prayer. Stirring up your gift has to correlate with prayer, because you have to ask God, you know, how to use these gifts, help me be guided with these gifts, right? And as you may see, this is where the cycle comes in. You know, via praying to God, you delve deeper into his love. You're able to step outside of your comfort zone and even overcome fear. And therefore, you're able to walk more in your gifts, strengthen your gifts, adopt new gifts. Now, it's one thing to speak and explain this chain reaction, but it's another thing to maintain and walk in it. And I think Psalms chapter 91, verses 1 to 2, actually depicts this quite well. So if we're just going to focus on verse 1 temporarily, right? It says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Now, that's the NIV version. In the KJV version, instead of shelter, it says secret place. So I actually really quite like that version. But so to dwell actually means to live in or be at a specific place. Let God's presence be your home. Live a life in God's presence. In God's presence, converse with him and get to know him deeper. Allow your master fall off. Be vulnerable with God. Be a part of God's love. Experience it in full. Even though we cannot reciprocate it, love him to the best of your capacity. Now, if we focus on verse 2 quickly, it says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Is this who you let God be for you? Is he your refuge? Is he your fortress? Is he the one that you trust? Let it be known to those around you whom you serve, but not just that, let it be known to yourself who you serve. Remind yourself of that. When the fears start to creep in, remind yourself of who you can run to. Remind yourself of who your God is and what he's capable of doing. In doing this, you allow yourself to excel in your journey with God, which grants him the ability to access and strengthen and guide all that you are. So, just to quickly summarize all of that as a little takeaway, in order to maintain and live in this cycle, you need to make God's presence your home. Let God be who you choose to return to, run to, the one whom you're comfortable to talk to and comfortable to be with. The second thing is to indulge in all that he is. Love all that he is. Accept all of who he is. Now, 3, trust in who he is. Lean on him. Trust in his word to be true, and trust that he will never leave nor forsake you. And finally, partner up with God. Build that relationship with God, which allows him to help you carry your load, but it also helps to guide and lead you.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.